for Heavenly Father, we stand before you tonight grateful of your divine providence, your goodness to us, Lord, your mercy and all these things. We cannot praise you enough. We ask you, Lord, to be with us tonight in the study of your word. May it not be our thinking, O God, though we have to think, but may it be your thinking, Lord, and therefore being right, because it is your thinking, O God, your knowledge, which is right at all times, indisputable, which if we have that knowledge abiding in it, there is nothing that shall escape us in this hour, not at all, but we will be seen to be a part of that fulfilled word. We look to you now to help us in our meditations. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, we certainly want to thank the brethren for working on the building here. I suppose just about everybody's here that did work on it, and so you're the ones that deserve the thanks from all the people. And of course, everybody's not here that helped in the preparation of food. It certainly was a tremendous in quality and quantity. Everything was just fantastic. And of course, I always do appreciate your hospitality, the same as I know the guests who came in do. I know they appreciate your love, your kindness to them. So we do thank you for that. Thank you for the flowers and all the things that were done so very, very well. Now, if somebody will this week remove the cover from in front of the pulpit here, that's necessary for the air conditioner, or the air conditioner will freeze up because there has to be an ample volume of air to go over the coils. So that will be taken care of, I know. And also, remember Tricia Sproul's birthday, I think it's May the 13th, and make him all the way down here for dedication. So if somebody remember you'd like to send a card, we'll get you the address, or just give us the card and we'll mail it off, or whatever you'd like to do. But I thought that'd be kind of nice. It's nice to remember people that you, whom you love. Now, we're into the rising of the sun, and before we begin reading, I want you to notice that what I said particularly some time ago, that when you read the Bible today, especially the Gospels, the New Testament, you read it for this hour. And you'll notice that that's what Brother Branham did when he took you through the paradox, and he said, there comes again an Ephesus or an Ephesians. And he said, as there was one to introduce Messiah, then there has to be one now. And he put Messiah as the Ephesus or Ephesians. You have to just get used to his vernacular. And which was that spirit in Ephesians, of course, that one. And there comes a time at the end time. And then he said, there has to be one to introduce us to the bridegroom, the Word. And he is the Word. So you look at the scripture in the light of everything in the present tense, because they were living in that hour believing that there would be a consummation, although Paul did put it down toward the end, and Peter did, realizing that it was imminent as far as they were concerned, but it could have been some distance away. So Brother Branham's preaching is taking this word, and he brings you into a place of the immediate presence of the of this hour. So we're going to be looking at this message in the same light, and we've been doing it, of course. Now, Brother Branham here says on, I'm just going back to page 12 or 11. It's about as good as any place to start. Maybe page 12 over here. I'm afraid today that too many of us are not getting people to Christ. We're getting them to a church, to a theory, but we must get them to Christ. Now, this is because the resurrection proved his death, that he was the sacrifice, that God had perfect satisfaction in Christ. He accepted the sacrifice, that everything it meant, and bringing Christ back showed to the world that this is it. All right. He is the only one that has life. Now, we're going to talk about that a little later on. He that has the Son has life. Now, that's a pretty good statement. He that has the Son has life. But it's very abstract. Because how do you know you got the Son unless you got a certain kind of a life? See, there's one flesh of fish and one of fowl and one of animals, and there's different kinds of lives too. So watch these words here and always be careful to keep yourself in tune with the message of the hour, which is this. Nothing is right but this message. Nothing will come to life but this message. Now you do what you want with it. Now see, I just tell people then, and of course it goes on tapes, and people, other people around the country get the tapes almost around the world, but I would still tell you that. If you do what you want, I can't do anything for you. See, what I believe, I can't transmit. I can tell you about it in the testimony. That's all. And if the life of a man that's dead be projected in you, you will live the same life he lives. Now, remember, when he's talking about that, you got to be careful that you don't go taking away on fruit and manifestation. Because the minute you do, you cut your throat. Because the prophet already negated that as an evidence. So you see, you're not sitting here with just one little thought in mind. Oh, Lord, bless me. Hallelujah. Ain't it nice? You are here with every one of your spiritual senses aware. Well, you don't get anything I teach. Any more than I get Brother Brand teaching. I don't believe one person is going to get out of here in a rapture until we're thoroughly oriented to this word. And there's no manure left. I don't believe that God makes bread out of wheat that's got manure on it. Now, it might have grown in manure, but it's not a part of it. Now, that goes over like a lead balloon to my sweet, sweet friends who are so nice. Well, they can have their niceness. Every table's full of vomit, my God said. The prophet proved it. Now, if the blood of a man was a certain type and you took the blood from one man and changed the blood of another man into another, he'd absolutely be that type blood. And if your spirit that's in you is reckoned dead, you are anointed with the light that was in Christ is upon you. Romans 8:11 says, if the spirit that raised up Christ from the dead dwells in you, it'll also quicken your mortal bodies. Now you notice right in here that he's not talking in terms of what you're producing. He's talking in terms of what God produced and what is by grace. See, because that's what Ephesians goes through, the first 13 verses. That every single thing that lay in there from before the foundation of the world is contingent upon the baptism with the Holy Ghost, Jesus Christ having provided the way through the blood. Now then, at the end, the Spirit comes in to the church. And this is the hour we're living in, which is the rising of the sun, which is the time of the resurrection. That same life, those same powers, same beneficiaries that he had here on earth from God. Now he's telling you what he had, you have. He redeemed you. A seed that was foreknown by God. Now, how can anybody be born again outside of recognition of predestination? Can't do it. And that's what's happened all around the world. Every place you go, the first thing these Pentecostal whodunits do, they run right off on predestination. No way. They'll swear on a stack of Bibles a mile high that Brother Brown did not say what he said. Right. They don't understand. And furthermore, they don't want to understand. He redeemed you, a seed that was foreknown by God, whose name was put in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. Now I want to ask you, what part you put into Christ? What did you do about his death and resurrection? See, you're a complete beneficiary. If I'm a beneficiary, it means that somebody, in this case, died, and I became heir to what he worked for and provided for me. And the gospel light of the resurrection, the confirmation of the word. How did we know he was the Christ? Because he proved what he talked about. Now notice it. He brings it to the hour which he was here in the flesh. Now then watch him come right to the present. How will I know the message of the hour? That means this hour. God proves what he promised And he talks about it. That's the paradox. He catches the attention. He does the great work. And in this hour, what they are, we've been told. And then right away, the one who is here, because he is not here in flesh. He's in the flesh of a prophet. Now the works are being manifest. William Branham is not the Son of Man. The pillar of fire is not the Son of Man. It's in the form of the Holy Spirit. It's a ministry. And the prophet is revealing the Son of Man. What's he doing? He's telling you all about what is happening. That this is the word of the hour. But people can't get their thinking turned around. All right, now listen, I brought a very strong point on Sunday. And I was just going to more or less get up here in the pulpit and ask you questions for a change. But Rusty's not here. And he's the bird brain, the eagle boy. But I would ask any of you, I will ask the question hypothetically. What was the major point of Sunday's message concerning paradox? Now, I'll tell you what it was. That Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, of Hebrews 13 and 8, was not Mark 16. No. Not in this hour. Not in this hour. Because Brother Branham always said concerning Hebrews 13 and 8. If he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he is here in the form of the Holy Spirit, he will do what today what he did there in the flesh. That is not Mark 16. That's exactly why he said the Pentecost. He said, don't think for 1 minute. He said, because you've got gifts of healing, talk in tongues, and do this and that, that you've got the Holy Ghost. No way. Turn right around to Baptist. He said, you deny. He said, Mark 16. And they both denied Hebrews 13 and 8. Now, where's your thinking tonight? Bell Fountain. I'm not mad at anybody. But I wonder what if things are going over your head, or are they going into your heart? Are you getting aware of what actually that prophet taught? And you don't get aware of it by being back with Baptists and Methodists and Pentecostals and Roman Catholic or God knows what. The best chance you have is being a stupid raw heathen. Sure. It's better not to have something in the bucket where the lid's hard to take off than to have something in it and you can't get the lid off. Now, what if you got in the bucket which shouldn't be there and you can't get the lid off? Now, what if your theology's all conked up and messed up? And you can't put your thinking aside. And you can't understand then the law of the compound meaning of Scripture. Then you're stuck right here with what the prophet's teaching. See? Now, I'll be honest with you. No, I'm not going to listen. I've got no chip on my shoulder. Please understand, I'm in a very good frame. I got my nice new shoes on, and I try to look slick. I just took a shower, and try to make look my hair more than it is and everything else, so I can look pretty like Steve and some of these young guys. I'm not trying that hard. So I'm not mad at anybody. So don't anybody think for 1 minute I'm mad at anybody. But what I say this, listen. This church here, there ought not to be one man in this church, now women are excluded, who at this time could not literally be teachers of the Word of God because you sat here long enough. Now, I'm not saying get in the pulpit. But that's what Paul said. Now, I know there's lots and lots to learn and lots of ways to go in the sense of this word here. But we must understand certain precepts are laid down. This is a now message. Why? Because there was a now rising of the sun and a resurrection. And there's the rising of the sun to the Gentiles, and he's here, so there's a second part of the first resurrection is breaking. And people can't get the drift of it, and they can't get the seriousness, and they can't get the reality of it. Now, of course, I want you to be like me, a perfect fool and a jerk in the eyes of everybody. Misery loves company. And I don't want to be alone. And I don't want to stand here and tell the people, well, hey, I realize all too perfectly within my soul that time and eternity have joined together. There's no such thing as space and distance anymore. I know people think there is, but they're wrong. I know that matter's in the process of changing. You can say what you want, but everything out in nature proves that they're doing it right now. They're changing matter. They're splicing genes and everything under heaven. They're showing you where you're at. We've got a spliced gene that never before. God has spliced into us something that we cannot die. I'm not saying I can't be dead by tomorrow morning. I'm not some kook. Well, I am a kook, but not that kind of a kook. You know what I mean. So we're living in the hour, and we have to understand these things. Now he said, how did we know he was the Christ? Because he proved what he taught us 2,000 years ago. How do I know the message of the hour? God proves what he promised, and he talks about it. And people don't know what God promised, that he'd return to the Gentiles. And you put that in the form of Almighty God. God restricted. God constricted. That God can if he wants to. The fullness of God can completely inhabit William Branham. You can't do a thing about it. I can't do a thing about it. Now, this is the man that's the authority. And he said, I'm going to tell you what it means. Paradox. Hebrews 13 and 8 is not what you think it. It is not Mark 16. I am sorry. That Mark 16 and Hebrews 13 and 8 is the running commentary of seven church ages. This has to do with God personally. Amen. This has nothing to do with you praying for the sick. This is God coming on the scene and doing it. That's a different thing. This is sovereignty. See, now let's keep now. He proves what he promised, and he talks about it. Okay? Now here is the great stumbling block. They just don't believe that it's in the Word that Jesus must appear in the form of the Spirit to the Gentiles, though it says it in Matthew 4 chapter and in Matthew 12. And they say, well, Seth, anybody can make that up. He didn't make it up. He was vindicated. People say they bleed Brother Branham. Hogwash, they bleed Brother Branham. I'm going to tell you something. I had my difference with Brother Branham. We're two different personalities. Our relationship wasn't just all much, much sweet, sweet, hallelujah, glory. It was pretty close to that. It wasn't glamorous, though. So I'm not building on a man. I'm building on a word. And I don't have glamour in my eyes concerning William Branham. I have glamour in my eyes concerning Jesus. What did William Branham point to himself? See? All right. They don't understand. Now, this is a part. What we're talking about. This is a part, a real part of your life. Because when Christ, who is your life, shall appear, there. Huh? Come on, come on, it's not sinking in. So take a deep breath. Think about it. What was my life? It's Christ. It's not going in, is it? I'm not mad at you, and I'm not blaming you. Because you hadn't thought of it that way, had you? And you're not thinking of it that way. You're trying to think of it that way, but you're having a job. Don't worry. Now that you know, he'll quicken it. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear. That's made perfectly, thoroughly manifested after his character. So there can be no doubt. At that time you shall appear with him in glory. Now that is your life. And if you have received it and identified and acknowledged, then you've got to be it, which is eternal. Penguins. They all look alike. They all lay funny eggs that look alike. They lay them on brown rock. But Mama Penguin knows exactly where Mama Penguin laid her egg. The babies are born, they all look alike. And they start moving around, maybe to get a little bit lost and find their mom, and the other penguins pick them, but Mama Penguin knows where her baby is. The Bible distinctly said the oxen knows his crib, the ass knows the crib, and the birds of the air know their path, but man does not know their maker. Did you recognize him? Did the deep call to the deep? And that's your life. You see, resurrection life.
Amen.
Yeah. Glory to God. Not tongues and interpretation kind of life. Not even raising the dead, though he did it to prove it. But I'm identified through a word. Jesus said to those Pharisees, he says, you don't have an identification. He said, you talk about Abraham. You licked the stump on that one. Oh, man, he said. You just go to town. I'm going to tell you something. He says, I don't doubt for 1 minute that you came from Abraham's loins. But everything that comes that way is not a child of God, because they're not born of the will of man. They're born through flesh by the will of God, and then they're born by the will of God by the Holy Ghost. And he said, sure, he said, I know you're Abraham's children. He said, but you're not his sons, because if you were, you recognize me. So I'm going to tell you flat. He said, listen, you ain't got no place in your heart for the word. And he said, the very word, he said, that you talk about that recognize me, you prayed it, you talk about Moses. And they go, oh, Jesus, Jesus, hallelujah, Jesus, Jesus, hallelujah. And he comes right here. And they say, ha! What is this anyway? When Christ, who is the life of the bride, appears, there has to be an Ephesians. There's got to be somebody like a John to introduce him. That the bride will know her mate, the revealed word. Now, we're not talking about a printed page. I'm talking about him. This, brother, sister, is merely God in a printed form. This is mechanics. This is a book. Don't get confused. We're talking about him, God. And I'm not a nice person. I'm not gentle. I'm not sweet. But I've cried about it a lot, and I've tried. Won't do any good. Somebody's got to tell them, I'm telling. And if I tell to six people, I'm telling you. This is risen amongst us. Let me tell you something, brother, sister. We are not many members anymore, as though we're scattered. Although we're individuals, we are one body. And the body does not have more than one life. If it has more than one life, it is not the body of Jesus Christ. It is not the life of Jesus Christ. If you have a life within your body which is not your own, you're in trouble. That's why Brother Branham said he'll burn every disease germ 1,000 miles above the earth. Hallelujah. Get rid of those lies. Get rid of those dogmas, those creeds. Those inhibitors of the life of Jesus Christ. See, excoriate them. Stand up for Jesus. He proves what he talked about. Paradox. I was going to bring several verses of scripture. I won't do it. We'll just go to Matthew 22, though. In Matthew 22 and 29 verse, it says here, Jesus answered and said to them, you do err, not knowing the scripture nor the power of God. Now, I'm taking that out of context scripture for just a little bit, because he spoke of the resurrection. Whose wife shall she be in the resurrection? He said, you're boxed up on the resurrection. And Paul says they got boxed on the resurrection. They're boxed on the resurrection right now. Because they don't know the events that precede it. They don't know how it takes place. And they're not interested in knowing. He said, you positively do err. You don't know the scripture, and you don't know how God fulfills that scripture. Let's go to John 14:17. Just a little bit of it. He said, here even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. It can't see him, it doesn't know him. Now, even if it could see him, it couldn't recognize him. Can't. Because it doesn't know him. So go on down and meet the plane. Lee Dale's getting off. I don't know Lee Dale. So how am I going to recognize him? Well, if I had a tick or something you recognized, I'd clear my throat a lot. Used to recognize me by my sinus problems, but then that's not so bad anymore. Which is a kind of a stupid way to recognize a person who's got a big nose like mine, shouldn't have too much trouble. Of course, most people got big noses, so there'd be a job looking at them. You get to the place where you know all Chinamen look alike, and so all white people can look alike too. Well, how are you going to know? You can't recognize you don't know. That's been the trouble. Let's go to John 3:19-20. This is a condemnation. Light has come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. For everyone that doeth evil hates the light. Neither comes to the light lest his deeds be reproved. Well, it tells you right there, God's going to shed light. He's a light shedder. It's something you can know. The knowledgeability of Jesus Christ. And now at the end time, there's a knowledgeability. That's what Ephesians says. And the discernment of the woman at the well, which William Branham did hundreds, if not thousands of times, is the proof of the presence. And that's not the baptism with the Holy Ghost. Because anybody trying a public ministry does not have the baptism. They're false anointed. Where does it leave the people? We go to John 8:19. Then he said, where is thy father? They said, Jesus answered, you neither know me nor my father. If you had known me, you should have known my father. Now what am I trying to do with these verses? I'm trying to show you something. The people don't know. Even in the presence. And everything going on. To a brother there, didn't you tell us yourself that you stood, sat there and you saw Brother Branham, something spoke to you like, is this the person to listen to? Sure, but I didn't know who he was. I didn't know presence. I'd have these things explained. That's why I try to explain everything to people. How do you know? You don't know unless somebody tells you. Paradox! Oh, I got the Holy Ghost, bless God, I can figure this out. Oh, yeah. Shows you ain't got nothing. If you fell with Satan, you're lifted up with pride. Try to compare yourself to a man of his stature. Hogwash. Listen, I've hobnobbed with the best of them. I've been around some of the greatest men. Fat. Now, listen, I'll even go so far, it sounds like boasting, but it isn't boasting. I've had people who heard some of the greatest preachers and teachers in the world said, Lee, there's none of them can hold a candle here. You know what? I don't know nothing except Brother Branham taught me. So much for teaching. Notice my vulgar expressions, my raspberries, everything else. Don't look to me for finesse, except I have the ultimate in the barbaric rendition. Oh, Mary, you keep quiet. You're rotten in hand. You're a daughter of your father. See, I know Mary, but she's like a daughter. You gotta watch her. Sometimes she acts like it, too, which is horrible. John 5:37-38, the Father himself which has sent me is born witness to me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his shape, but shut up and listen to me, because I have. Oh, Brother Branham's a prophet when he tells you how your stomach ache and how this is going to happen down there, and that's wonderful. But when he talks about the word, oh my, that's what they said about Jesus. For which good work you stole me. Oh, no, 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 you misunderstood. You opened your big fat mouth in the wrong places because we are the educated intelligentsia. We are the theologians, and we know God. Oh, amen, hallelujah. That come across? Jesus said, you have not his word abiding in you. For whom he hath sent, you don't believe him. Now, if it repeats, then they're not part of the bride. You see how you got to be in the message? So a big fella runs around with his hair brain of his. He went to Europe and he went around. He said, oh, he said, it just repulsed him. He said, I can't stand it. People say, are you in the message? So he got Francois on. That's why I'd take Francois apart and clean his French clock or his Swiss clock, whatever it was. Brother, sister, don't be fooled by cliches and platitudes and asininities. Take the Kentucky hillbilly. Because he could prove it and they could prove nothing. Take the carpenter's son. Yeah. And don't get all misty-eyed talking how that when he took a board, he could saw so straight. And it was so nice. I got an idea. Maybe he couldn't even saw a board straight and didn't give a rip. I don't know that he didn't. But I'm not interested. Fap. 45 and 46. Do not think I'll accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom you trust. For he had you believe Moses, you would have believed me. For he wrote to me, if you'd have believed William Branham, if you'd have believed Paul, you'd have come right to me. I want it explained. I want any theologian to tell me about Ephesians 1:17-23. I want the theologians. They can't do it. Try to find the books. Look, I do a little bit of preaching. And I'm going to tell you one thing. Most preachers, and I was included, don't have any more conscience. Snakes got hips. Don't care one thing how they use the word, long as it sounds good to them. And some Pentecostals heard a sermon I preached years ago, and they thought it was one of the greatest they'd ever heard, because I twisted the scripture so thoroughly and perverted it so wonderfully, they were very happy. Ha, ha, ha. Pardon me, Lord, for laughing, but I'm laughing in derision, my God. Not that I fooled anybody, because Lord knows I was entirely fooled too. With my sheer brilliance of my dissertation, how I had discovered. Then one day I was uncovered by the prophet, and I found my whoredoms. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul. That is the identification that we are beneficiaries with him in the resurrection. What's the identification? That you're in the resurrection. Because you saw, you heard, you believed, you said, yes, your life had appeared. And you said, that's my life. Yeah, and the rest said, we don't believe that. Oh, yeah. He proves what he's talked about. What he promised to do in Christ, he proved it on the resurrection. What he promised to do in the days of Moses, he proved. Now, see, what he's doing is building you here and showing you, find me one place when he didn't prove out. That's where I sat and got, I heard Brother Branham say, they shout his message, and you know what I said in my heart. I said, oh, Brother Branham, I've heard you say a lot of things. This is the furthest I get. I don't think I can take it. Then I heard myself say, when was he ever wrong? And I said, hallelujah, shouts the message, so let's keep moving. That happened in one split second. I'm identifying. See, on all the days the apostles, he proved it. And now in this days, he proves what he said, because they are a part of that seed that was represented on the Book of Life that he came to redeem back to God again. Now it tells you everything believed back there. Jesus proved it in the first resurrection, first half, and now in the second half he's proving to us now the same as he proved to them. You see, I wonder if I'll be with Moses. You wonder all you want. I'm going to be with Moses, hallelujah. You say, Brother Bale, don't Brother Bale me. I've struck oil. Brother Brown said, look, he said, you people hungry, I'm eating just fine. smack your lips, slurp, slurp. I like what he said, Brother. That guy, I want to tell you what, the people were cut down, they didn't even know they were cut down. He did it so sweet. You remember the story, the man had a sword so sharp, so terribly, terribly sharp. And he told the guys, I could cut your head off if you wouldn't even know it. The guy whacked his sword through, and the guy said, oh, you must have said, didn't he? He said, shake your head. That's the old Aesop's fable kind of thing with the sulker. The seed represented in the book of this last day. Represented right with listen, he took us right back to Paul. He wasn't resting on Arrhenius and Martin and Columbo and Wesley and Luther and Pentecost. He went right back where the Paul said, I said the things that's behind my back. Forgetting it. Looking what's under my nose. What Peter said. The present truth. A prophet. In the hour of the resurrection and glorification, standing there to reveal with the same inspiration the book was written. So the same pillar of fire that gave the word has got to be here revealing the word. Well, do you understand? Now, brother, sister, faith is substantial. Faith is not a piano made out of cardboard and press. Tissue paper. Most of them are nowadays. That's why you can't go to a good piano anymore. There's no good wood left. Isn't that horrible? Not even any decent blockheads left. I'm not just necessarily being facetious, although it is there. Brother Brandon said, he said, if there's nothing left in the food, your body's turned to mush. What about your brain? Easter morning, not only did he rise, but his beneficiaries rose with him. They were in Christ at his crucifixion. They were in him at his resurrection. Where are they now? Same thing. We are his beneficiaries, quickened after being dead in darkness, in a darkened world of unbelief, where churches and denominations and so forth have drawn us out. And there's something in us calling. Oh, we want God. We're hungering and thirsting for God. So therefore, God wasn't in there. Certainly not. They booed him out. We got to have our own gathering. Got to have our own getting together. We joined Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, Presbyterian, what more? And still there's something wrong. We just couldn't find it yet. All of a sudden, while we're groping in darkness, the great resurrection came to us in the manifestation of the promise of the Word of God, like he was the manifestation of the promise Word of God. I'll not leave your soul in hell, neither suffer his body to see corruption. He manifested every Word of God that was promised to him. He proved it when he raised on Easter morning, and he's bringing it right down today to a living bride that's not going to see death. But she's going to see the dead come out of the ground. See? Now remember, everything is present tense. What he was there, he is now. What he did when he was on earth, positively, ministry shows it. Who he is proven. Now we're into the resurrection, which was God doing it. We're done in the spirit. He had to go down the spirit before they were put into the flesh. So, that runs in continuity. Now they who were once groping in darkness and wandering around, they wonder if they should wash feet on this day, or keep a certain day, or a certain set of rules. All those things passed away. Well, let's look at it. Glorious resurrection morning, and here those priests are saying, oh, you're going to only have so many nails in your shoes, and you're carrying too much weight. Oh, don't you dare get an ox out of the ditch, and don't you heal on Sunday. And here the rock is swept aside, the glory of the God appears, and here stands Christ in all his glory and beauty. I want to tell you, you say, oh, hallelujah, I'm sure God has polished my shoes. Oh, I'm sure God didn't do nails. Oh, I'm glad it is. Where's your legalism? Oh, brother, sister. Will you believe me when I tell you a legalist is a person that if you spit on the floor, you are going to hell, hell, hell. But if they commit adultery 6 times a night, well, they thank God for their virility. And they boast it's okay because, hallelujah, I've repented and said, Jesus, forgive me. Now you're telling us! Oh, you can tell them. They cover up all the time. Years ago, a fellow named Horace King, when I was in Pentecost, he came looking around and he said, I'm going to tell you something, son. He said, the whole bunch of you guys are in sin and you're covering up by your screaming hallelujah and glory. And I could have killed him, but he was right, you know. He was right. Let's get down where the word is. Yeah, clean our lives up. I'm going to tell you something, brother, sister. You haven't come this far in the message not to know that something demands more and more cleanup. And you're more and more willing to do it. You need help to have it done, but you want it. Say, Brother Bale, our church is clean. You've got to be nuts. You've got to be nuts. How many people are tonight? You could go this many directions tomorrow morning? Come on. What's the trouble? Curse of legalism. They can't see the grace of Almighty God. They're still looking around with their folly. Oh, yeah, certain set of rules, all those passed away, for there was a glorious resurrection that defied every man-made thing that man had ever done and every man-made reason, and it's in progress now. Ask you a question, what did you ever put into God? Did you ever start him off? Can you stop him? Get in tune. You ever turned your radio on and it won't get in tune? Oh, brother, 3 stations breaking in at one time, all the cackling static, you name it. Get in tune with God. Begin to understand the race. He defied that scientific proof they had by raising the scientific proof. That picture goes up here now. There it is again. Prophet told him what it was. He said, ah, that couldn't be it. No, that couldn't be it, but it was. Yep. When they say that Jesus Christ is not the same yesterday, today, and forever, that his power isn't the same, that his gospel is not the same, when the Bible says it's the same, God defies every denomination, every creed. He moved forth in the Holy Spirit as he promised and proved it to us that he's alive. Now, right away, people are thinking, well, Brother Branham proved he's alive. Hallelujah. He's here and all this. Glory to God. And he sure proved Mark 16. Oh, wonderful. We believe that. Yes, sir. And now this great man came on the scene. And now, oh, it just made a great revival. Hallelujah. That's it. We're going right down the road. And the voice said to the man, he said, you can do this too. That's the Bible way to do it. And that's entirely wrong. Wrong voice. He's here. Well, if you don't believe he's here, at least he was here. He's also somewhere. Yep. I'm going to tell you, 6 trillion people full of the Holy Ghost does not make God. Except for that stinking serpent getting in there, there'd only be one sperm. And one true egg to hatch. That they both would have come from Adam. Oh, yeah. God separated and put in Eve, the egg. One life, one everything, but it got messed up. But God's going to unmess it. We're the benefactors of his resurrection. Quickened after being dead in the world of sin and trespasses. He's quickened us together with him, raised with him, now sitting in heavenly places. Ephesians has come again. We're in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, having been quickened. We're into a spiritual resurrection. Brother Branham said we had a spiritual resurrection. That's true. Remember, light moved upon the face of the deep before the seed could come forth, signifying resurrection. Then there must be light, the rising of the sun. The sun had to rise first before one person could come back from the dead. His spirit brings his same life again on earth. His same life. The person. If the Spirit of God that raised up Christ, the body, anointed body, if the Spirit of God anointed that body in such a way that when the seed fell on the ground, the earth, he just wouldn't let it rest there. No, he quickened him and raised him up. That same Spirit, by the same works, by the same power, by the same sign, will raise you up. He's telling you, hey, let's go to Romans 8 and 11. Come on, let's read it. Now, but if the Spirit of him, which is Elohim that raised up Jesus from the dead, dwell in you. He, that Spirit, Elohim, that raised up Christ from the dead, shall quicken your mortal bodies by that same Spirit, by Elohim. The portion that dwells in you is the seal, and you will be raised. Now let's understand what he's saying here. He is saying another Ephesians. And watch what Ephesians does. In the first chapter, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him, the eyes of understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Now he's telling you. So you got a compound meaning. Paradox in Romans 8 and 11. Now we discovered the compound law then on Sunday, put it before you. We knew it was there, but now we put it to the place where we get it, where we were looking at it. We're recognizing it. And the more you begin to think this word according to the keys that Brother Branham left in our hands, the closer we will have to 10 people in one place believing the same thoughts. There's going to be a rapture. Wonderful. I'm not saying it's going to be here, and I'm not trying to do it, brother, sister, so don't ever think that for 1 minute, but I'm telling you what he said, and it's the truth. All right. I'd like to read a little scripture for you here. I'd like you to turn another scripture I wrote down here. Might help a bit. Book of Leviticus, 23rd chapter, 9-11 verses. Listen close now. Levitical law. God speaks to Moses. Listen. All these things are type. We'll stop here a moment. Get to the type. The Lord said unto Moses, speak to the children of Israel, say unto them, when you win the land which I will give you, unto the place, the position I have given you, now you speak to the children of Israel, that when you get this certain place, I promised you I would take you when you get to this land, now speaking nasty, typing a spiritual. Now you say, when I've placed you, when I've got you where I want you. We say, I don't know that God got us there. You got to be nuts. 7 church ages down the drain, brother, sister, it's over. Oh, Brother Vail, I believe this thing. I got to do that. Oh, you just blew it. You got to shut your mouth. Is what you got to do for a change. Get out of the way. You're blowing it. When did God say to Moses, oh, Moses, bring the children all around and let them tell you, Moses, the things that they were like. God said, you're here. Send those spies, the 12 spies, to prove it. They came back with grapes of Escol, wonderful things to show. We're here. This is it. Hallelujah. And they said, oh, get me down there. Get me down there. That's what they said. And the two men that said, we got it made, had it made. But those birds cost them 40 more years for them at the stupidity, whatever it was. How many years? How long did it take to march about 8 miles? Even I could do that in one day if I had to. I'm sure I could, if I didn't have to. 40 years to cross it, my God. I got you over a barrel. Now just think a minute. Just think how many years the prophet been gone? I'm over the barrel with you, don't worry. 19 years he's gone, right? Coming up. 19 years. That's all we needed to learn, just a little bit like that. Well, hallelujah. All right, speak to the children of Israel. When they get to the position, and shall reap the harvest thereof, therefore then you'll bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest, and he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you, on the morrow after Sabbath, the priest will wave it. Now, we're about to reap everything. A people standing here and not dying going to reap the whole thing. But before, a wave sheaf has got to be waved over you. Now, a wave sheaf is many. So that means every single one in Christ. Because we're talking now of Him, all in Him. Typing the resurrection. And in Him is everything. And at that time, it's got to be waved again. Now listen to what the Brother says about the waving. If there would be any holy ritual, it should come forth on the Sabbath day, which was the seventh day of the week, which is Saturday. But did you notice in this memorial to wave it on the first day? It's a memorial to the resurrection. The sheaf, which was the first of your seed that you planted. Now remember, this is hand-picked from amongst the whole crop. You go up there and say, hey, this is ripe. Now stop for a second. This is ripe. Oh, look how beautiful this is. Ripe. The rest stays there, right? The resurrection from amongst the dead. A bride that's ripe. What ripens the bride lying in the presence of the Son? For they don't even breathe in a presence. Not as we understand, not as the prophet taught it. Now, when it comes up and ripens, you cut this sheep and take it to the priest, and let him wave it before the Lord for your acceptation, that you're accepted. Well, hey, you didn't make the wheat. All you did was handle it, so to speak. Nurture it. The sun and the rain, the fertilizer, did the rest. Is it something in the providence of God that you were able to have a hand in, which means simply you were allowed to partake of it? See? Now listen. When this sheep is waved, you're accepted. So if he's waved over, Christ is here. See? And he's the one that was waved. And if he's back here to say yes again forever, then his acceptance, proven by his resurrection, back there and proven now, we're accepted. Now the world isn't presenting him. We are. How's anybody going to be in the resurrection outside of this message? I feel real good. I could quit preaching from now on and go home. My life's over. I don't care what you say. You might not have caught that when I'm telling you the truth. Oh, I'd like to be preaching. I don't need you anymore. Because we're winding up down here somehow. Because when you get to the place of utter simplicity, you've arrived. The simplicity is here. I'm not selling you a bill of goods, you're selling you a leave bill. Don't worry for 1 minute, because I back my word up. I'm not lying to you. I don't have to have evidence proof. This, we go from here to here, back and forth. Now, Sunday, you have to come with your sheep, and he's to wave it before the Lord, not on the Sabbath, the seventh day, but on the first day, which we call Sunday. Of course, that's a Roman word, which he called it S-U-N-D for the sun god. How it's changed. It's not S-U-N anymore, it's S-O-N-D-A-Y. The Sunday, S-O-N-D-A-Y. That corn of wheat, God's first, one up from the dead, is to be waved over the congregation, that we are his seed. Then if you can't recognize the one that's waved, there's something wrong with your penguinhood. You can't tell your own egg, or your own mummy, or your own kid or something. And you're right back where God said, the ox and the ass know the crib. The birds of the air know the path, but my people do not know me. Whom to know aright is life eternal. Oh, that William Branham, that's mesmerism. You know the accused Brother Branham hypnotizing? I've been accused too. Isn't that the stupidest thing under God's eye? Him? Saw 21 sermons hypnotized. I can preach 100 or something. I was just counting up even the tapes we got to use here. If we use two every single week, that's we use three now. Three every single week, we use 156 tapes in a year. And usually we double up on a lot. So this guy sold me short. I'm over-hypnotizing. Man, I don't want to be sold short because you're fat. If I'm going to be a dog and kill 10 sheep, don't anybody say, well, I think he'd kill one sheep. I'll kill 10 sheep. If I got in the chicken house and I was a weasel, I don't want anybody to say, well, you know, he only got lucky, he only got two of the hens. I want to knock at least 16 hens down. Oh, brother, that's the best they can say, you know. It sure shows what's underneath the follicle, the hair follicle, something. All right. God's first one up from the dead is to be waved over the congregation, that we are his seed, and that's the first of the seed of those that slept. Waved upon the first day of the week, on Sunday, he raised up, waved goodbye, ascended up on high in the presence of the people. Notice, it was the first corn of God's wheat that had been raised from the dead, God's first corn of wheat. By God's quickening power, God had quickened his life, raised him from the dead. He was the first fruits of those that slept, the first fruit. He was that sheep. That's why they had to wave that sheep, for it was the first one that came to maturity. Now listen. And it was waved as a memorial of thanksgiving to God, believing that the rest of them would come. His maturity brought them. It wasn't theirs. It isn't yours and mine. It's going to be his. And it was a sign. And today, that brings it right to the sign. The word for the hour. The word for the hour is the same word that Paul had. Ephesians, another Ephesians. Who introduces this great spirit amongst us? Who reveals the Son of Man? William Branham. Woman at the well. Sister, he said, I don't know you. And I certainly said, I'm sure I don't know you. Have you never met me? No, I've never met you. Well, then, we're not acquainted. And how would I know anything about you? Unless God told me. Now, he laid himself right open to being an Ananias or a devil, anything else. But how come, if he was a devil, he exposed the devil? It ain't never been done, nor will be done. So much for theology. Comes straight from the pit of hell. Came right from the serpent, from the devil, because that's exactly what the Satan said in the form of the serpent to Eve. He's all explained to you. Oh, he explained it all right. And today, because he was the first Son of God to come to full maturity to be in God, he was plucked up from the earth and is waved over the people, oh glorious lesson, by the quickening power. And it tells you he's waved again. In other words, the proof of the resurrection, the proof of the death, this is it. This is my beloved Son. This isn't the sacrifice. This is all of it. And he's waved again. All right, penguins. Beg your pardon, eagles. Eaglets. Not beaglets. Got enough of them, too. Eaglets. Do you recognize the pillar of fire to the Gentiles? Do you realize we're not in type, but in anti-type? Remember, Brother Branham said that one orange seed had every orange in it that would ever be produced. God had in every child that would ever be produced. And in Christ was redemption for every one of those. And when he rose and proved his resurrection, it showed that those seeds were redeemed. And we have come to maturity. It is time for a people to go home without dying. Don't you know when I told you about how back there in the Garden of Eden, that if man had not sinned, his day would have run out, God would have had to change it anyway? Don't you realize that this business of glorification is not some second thought that God had and said, well, it's a pity they fell, and now that they fell, and my Son went down there to deliver them, I'll just have to put some real whipped cream on the cake with a few cherries. Hogwash! This was known from before the foundation of the world. God's great plan. Maturity. Makes you feel good, doesn't it? And the first one, although he'd been typed in many times, and we'll see later that he was typed, but this is really the first fruit of them that slept. He was waved over the promised seed that had promised the light. He was waved at the day of Pentecost, when there came a sound of heaven, like a waving, mighty, rushing wind, was waved over the people, Pentecostal people, that was up to Pentecost, waiting for the blessing to come, and to be waved again. We realize in the last day, according to Luke 17 and 30, in the S-O-N day, in the days of the Son of Man will be revealed or waved over the people again, the pillar of fire. The very ministry proving his identity. And he said, and Brother Branham said, Hebrews 13 and 8, if he's risen from the dead, he's telling you resurrection, waved again. Waved over the Gentiles, he was waved over Israel. The Old Testament. Now, proving the same life is here again. He comes down, the Lord comes down with a shout, a message. Puts himself head of the church to raise the dead and take us all up there. To what? Our Lord Jesus Christ, as the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou in my right hand. All right. Now, who is the Son of Man? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word is with God, and the Word was God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And of all the teaching we have in confirmation of the Word of God, by Word of God, by signs, by wonders, we see today that in the book of Luke, just as we quoted from the 70th chapter, 30th verse, Malachi 4, and different scriptures we're acquainted with, that the Word again is waved over the people, that the dead traditions of man is dead, and the Son of God is alive again, with the baptism of the Holy Ghost right among us, giving us life. And he tells you the mighty baptizer is here baptizing people left and right at the same time, revealing himself, it's all over. There's no place else to go. Because the baptism gives way to the Holy Ghost himself. What more do people want? See, now I could read page 1019 from COD, but I'm not going to do it. Now don't miss it. Raised among us is proven by the works. That's what it is. Now listen. Now watch. As Christ was the first one to raise from all the prophets. Now just a minute. He said from all the prophets. They were the guys that said it. They said about him. So if everything pointed to him and the prophet said it, then he'd be the one to rise among the prophets. That means to tell you flat, there ain't no prophet of God that's down there in the Old Testament. Be all up. Yep. And I'm going to tell you something. The children of the prophets go with them. word, children. Now, as Christ was the first one to raise from all the prophets, not the believers, now prophets, and so forth, although typed in many places, he was the first fruits of those that slept. And in the bride coming of Christ. The bride coming of Christ. They didn't say second coming, this coming, that coming. He said bride coming of Christ. What for? Because it's a bride. The bride coming. Bride coming. Now let's get this flat. This is not after the bride's gone, he comes down. This is not in physical form. This is bride coming. That the bride will know her name. I wonder if I got that quote in the Bible here, on my back of my Bible. I don't suppose I have. It's too bad. But it's too bad about a lot of things. That's the one, I think, of Feast of the Trumpets. Let's see. Might have it here, but it's pretty hard to find. I can't see it here, but it's... I've read enough times anyway that she'll know her mate. The revealed word. Well, he was the revealed word. Who revealed it? I'm not the Son of Man. He said the prophet reveals the Son of Man. What do I see now? I got this down here. Said here, the angel was not the Son of Man, a messenger from the Son of Man. Another place he said, he revealed the Son of Man. All right. Bride coming. Now, what is the bride coming? Coming out of the church. There'll have to be a sheaf waved again in the last days. Oh, my. And what did he say in COD? Cold. I brought my piano with me. How about that? Didn't think I would, didn't you? Now, this I say with reverence and love and respect. See, as Jesus Christ is saying yesterday, day and forever. And also that in the last days, as it was before Lot's time, in Lot's time in Sodom, it shall be in the day that the Son of Man reveals himself again, revealing himself. Now, in the last day, the Logos that was upon Jesus, which he has become from that back to the pillar of fire again and descended down on the earth. Now, what does he say previous? Now, after death, burial, resurrection, the coming of the Holy Ghost. Now, that's all gone. Paul on the road to Damascus, struck down by pillar of fire, Logos. The Jew never would have called the pillar of fire Lord unless he knew it was the same Logos. His people followed through the wilderness. Now, that was not the Son of Man. That was the Logos. And we see it's going to come at the end time. Now remember, if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he's risen from the dead, he will do now to the Gentiles what he did for them. You're right back. What did he do? He brought about a resurrection. Waved over the people. The waving of the sheep. What was the sheep? The first one to come to mature. The first one that proved it was the wheat. That proved it was the sheep. Hallelujah. I'm sure you see what I'm talking about. He was waved over the people. The first time there will come forth a... The first time there will come forth for the bride age, for a resurrection out of dark denominations, will be a message that the full maturity of the word has turned back again to its full power and being waved over the people by the same signs and wonders that he did back there. Now listen, that is absolutely what I keep reading and reading and reading. And this is what the devil hates. Now, I got cut off, but he ain't going to prevail. Because it says right here, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him, the eyes of your heart being enlightened, that's Peter, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ. It tells you when that great ministry comes back on earth that you may understand the full impact when the prophet stands and says, this is this and this is it. Here's what it's all about. And you say, hallelujah, I've already gone. Bless God. Take off my water wings. I won't need them. Take off the ailerons. I won't need them either. I defy gravity. Yep, I'm going up. Yes, sir, brother, sister. That's John 14 and 12. Well, I say John 14 and 12, that's the great works in multiplicity. That's one man doing it. Brother Branham said he had more success in my life than he had in his own life when he was here on earth with his ministry. Now, because I live, you live also, speaking to his wife. Because I live, you live also. That's why I said there is no way I can say I'm going to die. Now, I could die. Oh, sure, I could die. I'm not God. God said I'm going to live. Now, not to be personal, but to the bride. What a resurrection that was. And what a resurrection this is. Present now. To be quickened from the dead. To be made alive in Christ Jesus by God's quickening power. Now listen. Brother, sister, do you hear what he said? He drew a line here that makes everybody's blood boil. What a resurrection that was. What a resurrection this is, to be quickened from the dead. Denominational people. To be made alive in Christ Jesus by God's quickening power. And they say, fap on you. John says, you know, two-bit Kentucky hillbilly is going to come in here and tell me I ain't got it. Who does he think he is anyway? And I want to read one thing. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the children back to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse, and there be neither root nor branch when I get through burning them up. It took Brother Branham a lot to say that. But he said it. And he was waved to them. The word which he was waved back to them on the day of Pentecost. The word was made manifest. And now, as I say, is to be waved again in the last day. By what authority? Luke 17 and 30. Now, for instance, you say, now, Brother Branham, I know a church that well, so do I. But now, for instance, what if we were going to react to Tucson this afternoon? Now, each one of us had a big, fine Cadillac, brand new, all seats made of doe-skin, soft leather, each sitting, floorboards were plush, steering wheel, nickel-plated diamond studs, alloyed, engine mechanically tested, the actually right engine, wheels were, bearings greased up, tires puncture-proof, blow-out-free, scientifically tested, been pushed off the 79, both of them through the gasoline, they're running power gasoline because it's in the octane, but now you're going to start. Both of them look just alike, but one of them doesn't have any spark. No firing power. Well, you say the power's in the gasoline, Brother Branner. I don't care much power's in the gasoline. Well, this is a spark there to manifest that power. Unless there's a power to confirm that's in the gasoline, it might as well be water. Now, listen to what he said now. Here's he's typing it. Now, he's telling what he means. No matter how much theologians claim, how well you got your church set, how much education you got, how much like the Bible. Until that way sheath, until the Holy Spirit comes upon that person to quicken that word, the gasping represents the word as the truth of the Spirit, it won't move. Now people stand back and saw all of this and they say they got the Holy Ghost. No way. No way. No way. The evidence is believing the word and not just what was said, but what was proven the right to be said. Because anybody can talk. Montesum, he's there and the prophet's there, and that man can only say what he told him to say. Now they read the Bible and they say, well, you see, well, he ain't no prophet. Well, that be my guess. I don't give a rip. You ain't no human being either. Ain't no saying to God, something wrong somewhere. I got to fight. I'm a little bit feisty and contrary, you know, fight a little bit. That's all right. I mean, it's okay for me, not for you. Without the Spirit, won't move. We put too much stress on the mechanics, nothing on the dynamics. It needs the dynamic power of God, the resurrection. That's what he's saying right here. If he isn't here, there won't be a resurrection. I don't care how much you are full of the Holy Ghost. And I will tell you, come flat. I don't care how much I am full of the Holy Ghost. If he doesn't raise us, plunk, you're down.
right? That takes care of it. So the baptism gives way to the Holy Ghost, or it ain't done.
Are they saying, now listen here, Brother Dale, this thing runs in the continuity because God said so. You forget that God stands behind His word to perform it. It's not a principle of continuity.
It's the word that lives at the right time.
Amen. They don't believe that.
I don't care what they believe. I have a problem. I believe the prophet. Hallelujah. I'm with James Mayfield. If we're wrong, we're going to hell, Brother Branham. If we're right, the other guy's right, he's going to go where I know he ain't going.
All right. We put too much stress on mechanics, nothing on dynamics. It needs the dynamic power of God, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ upon the church to manifest and to bring to pass that this is gasoline. Now, I'm going to tell you something, Brother Sister. A lot of people say, well, hallelujah, I got the resurrection power. You are wrong. You have the seal that guarantees the resurrection power. Now what about that one for misinterpreting Scripture and being a little bit loused up? Because if you put your hope on that, you're wrong. That's simply your seal. He's got to get us out of here. I don't care how much full of Holy Ghost you are. And I can prove it. Because everybody full of the Holy Ghost, even Paul, is dead. Huh? Now, I don't care how full they were and are, they ain't coming until He brings them. And Paul said, if there is no resurrection, he said, I'm all men most miserable. He said, Oh God, he said. What is it all about? He said, fought with the animals. Huh? Now who's telling you the truth? William Branham? And Lee Vail to this bunch out here. Now you pin them down, they'll have to admit a few things. And they'll walk right back to the swamp. Well, hell, I must be really okay because I'm full of Holy Ghost and turned down a prophet. Now, it might be gasoline can. Look like it, but it could be water, see? But the only proof of it is put the life on it and it'll prove whether it's gasoline or not. It'll prove whether you're born again is when that comes. Oh, I got him dead to right. It's a pity that I'm going to have to be there on Judgment Day. Because I'm going to bring to certain men's attention and say, remember that day when I was back in Canada and you said, now my brothers, my sister, let us be careful. Our parents left denomination because there was more light. Let us never close our eyes and think we've got it all. Lest light come and we turn it down. Brother Vail is a very nasty person. He has a memory. But Jesus loves his memory because he keeps bringing up from my subconscious things that the prophet said, and I find them all the time. And they're in the Word. And I'm not here to judge anybody, brother, sister. Because I'm telling you, if we've been fooled by William Branham that he is the seventh messenger, and he was only a messenger, there will be a prophet come. It'll make this one look a little bit timid. But being so. I'm resting on that. In other words, I believe the blind has been pulled down. The sun cannot rise twice in the west. And when you try to put the Holy Ghost in the denomination, the Holy Spirit in the denomination, you're much as trying. You get a splutter. You ruin your engine by getting it full of carbon. But oh, I'm so glad there is a 10,000 octane power, the Word of God, and the Holy Ghost to light it up and to resurrect the power of God into a man's life, woman's life, or into the church that shoved that Cadillac down the road yonder under the dynamic power of the Holy Ghost, which came back, was waved over the people at Pentecost, making him the same yesterday, day, and forever. There's your paradox again, because he went back to Pentecost. I said, well, there it is. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And then turn that down. And not realize that Scripture has a compound meaning. He said, all Scripture's compound meaning.
I hope nobody's thinking I'm complicated. I love this. This is so simple. I'm rejoicing. In fact, I'm just ready to backslide. It's so simple. I told Steve that this is the kind of day I like to backslide. Just stay out there in the garden. And I stayed out longer than I should. And I know I'm wrong because I depend upon a gift lots of times and I shouldn't. It's nice to depend upon it, but it's not really right. All right. Hour and a half. Whatever. We're not going to get to page 22 tonight. You know that. I couldn't fit 26 pages. Any more than I could run through a hoop and jump over a wall. You love the Lord? Is it getting simpler? You don't mind having your conscience probed, do you? To look deep inside? Look, I'm not trying to make you look like a fool. Every time I preach here, I'm the guy that looks like a fool because I didn't think of this before. If I'd have thought of it before, I'd have told you. I can't keep my mouth shut. You heard about those preachers, didn't you? They got together one time and they began confessing their sins. And one fellow said, I wouldn't like to really get this out in public, he said, but he said, I'm very heavy on the booze, he said. The second guy said, I hate to let this get up, but he said, I'm not the most moral person when it comes to morals that are, you know. They said to the third guy, what? He said, is your father. He said, I can't stop gossiping. Get me out of here. So, if I thought of this before, I'd have told you. I don't hold anything back Sunday to Sunday, week to week. Maybe unless I have to keep it in my notes because it runs in continuity. But you know, since Sunday, just the one thing has done so much for me. Because the compound meaning, I suddenly saw what he really meant when he talked to the Pentecostals and to the Baptists. Neither one believes he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. They don't believe it. Now look, I'll tell you something. If we don't, and I'm wrong, we're still the closest. Because he said, if he's here in the Spirit. Now, this didn't happen in seven church ages. It's happening now. So this in the Spirit wasn't in that Spirit back here, was it? No way. So, we're getting there. We are climbing Jacob's ladder, We are climbing Jacob's ladder, absolutely. Presence of God, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. All these things come together. They're coming, brother. Don't be hasty. Don't be worried. Relax. Devil's not going to get you. That's not his servants might. Oh, yes. That's their job. And that's just for a little while. But he can't touch us. He can't do a thing about this word. You know why? Because this cuts creeds and denominations, and that's his kingdom. So when light shines and we walk in that light, seventh seal, he can't handle the word. He's already handled what he handled. What can he do about this? What can his gang do about it? None. None. Paradox. Compound meanings. Wonderful. That's right. Okay, let's sing I Love Him. I love him because he first loved me. Okay, Lloyd?
I love him. I love him because he
Calvary.
You know, Brother Branham made the told a little story about when the Queen came to Canada. The little girl was, you know, all dressed up to see the Queen, then she began crying. She said, "Well, didn't you see the Queen?" She said, "Yes, but I don't know if the Queen saw me." And you know, that's okay for a little child. When you come to adulthood and you come to this day, you know, there's one thing that not only did God see you, but He called you by name. And He began telling you those deep secrets and what you're part of. What was waved over you was your life, your identifying. Brother, sister, listen, it couldn't be as simpler. It couldn't be, honestly. It cannot be made any simpler than what this is, what we're into this week. It's just like the rising of the sun all over again. New day. It's been a new day dawning. It's been a wonderful, glorious Sunday for a long time. And we're going to get out of here, brother, sister. We're going to get out of here. I don't care if you're a piecemeal any way God wants to take us. We're getting out of here. We're part of that throng. But keep hammering nails. Keep looking up. Don't get led by this and led by that. Do your work. Just keep moving down that road. The Lord's going to warm your heart with this revelation until one day this great ministry, that word that, as He said, dynamite, you're going to walk right out of this world into the other world. You're already walking out and don't even know it. See? Because people don't realize. They're looking for that sudden jolt way down the road. I couldn't stand the sudden jolt. I've had so many sudden jolts now. Whiplashes, this and that. I love it the way He's doing it. Yeah. That's how I did Abraham. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, again we praise and thank You for love, mercy, and grace, the God of all grace. So good of You, Lord, so wonderful of You to bless us. We just feel just almost like screaming out loud. Such wonderful blessing, such wonderful joy. It's just so marvelous, Lord. It's so marvelous. Now solemnize this as never before. And it should, may we so partake of Your love, mercy, and grace, Lord, the living epistles read and known of all men. Lord, forgive us for our abruptness and our points, Lord, when we are abrasive and all those things, O God. Forgive us, we pray. Take once more the clay within Your hands and remold, O God, for Your glory, not for ours. Whatever it takes, Lord, we're amenable here. We know that You're working things out, Lord, that again, we just want to say we are so thrilled, just so thrilled with the Word, so thrilled with what You brought through the prophet, to put it into perspective, to see it, and to know we're part of it. On these bases, oh God, how wonderful. We said it all along, but never said it like we can say it today. We believed it never like we believe it today. Surely, Lord, faith is mounting up, and we're mounting up with wings like as eagles. Lord, we so thank You. We're so thankful. We're so grateful tonight. It's just wonderful, Lord. It's just wonderful. And we know the great healing of all is soon coming, the resurrection amongst us. We praise Thee, O God. Lord, help us to walk so circumspect, to be so close to You, so clean, so upright, so not in our own strength and rising, Lord, that we can say, "Hey, look at me, O God." That could never be, because we know, "Hey, look at Jesus." We know that, Lord, and You know our hearts. But, Father, we yearn to be absolutely thoroughly one with what You have done for us, so that it is a living, breathing, walking, Lord, an identification as an epistle. Mold us closer and closer, for which we thank You, Lord. Override us as never before, O God. We're happy, Lord, that You are here tonight. You are with us, that You're God, there is none beside You. We just want to know more, to love You more, everything more about Jesus would I know. All, whatever it is, more. We thank You, Lord, and praise You. Bless every home represented. Everyone, Lord, that comes in the doors. Everyone, Lord, either gets tapes and all, whatsoever, have an interest and a yearning. Bless those people, O God. We pray for those in trouble, Lord, those that are having hard times, whatever it may be. Father God, lift the people up tonight to know they're more than conquerors in Jesus Christ, that the devil's a liar and a bluff. Your word is true. It has been dynamized. It's all one now. Oh, God, let the people see it. Let me see it. Let me help the people, Lord. That's what I want to do. May I never detract from You, Lord, in any way, bring attention upon myself. I know that I do at times. I'm sorry, Lord. It's a curse. God, remove it, I pray. Help me, Lord, to just lift You up and reflect Your presence. Be now, Lord, our guider all in all, our bread, our everything, our very spirit, our life, our soul. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's take the name of Jesus with you. Sunday morning, of course, 11 o'clock.